just left El Cajon, as I'm thinking to leave El Cajon too, although I'm from the Middle East, but, you know, going in El Cajon streets now, you have to watch yourself when you stop in the stop sign, because people, they don't want to stop in the stop sign now. Right. Yeah, because I have, see, I know that, because I have a friend from Egypt. Actually, his wife was kind of like my daughter from Egypt. He lived here in America for 10 years. And he decided to go back to Egypt. And I asked his wife, and I said, like, is he crazy to go back to Egypt after 10 years here and after he became American citizen? And I said, like, give me one good reason why he wants to go back to Egypt. And you will be, like, amazed to know that the answer was, he can't stop in the stop signs. Literally, that's what she said. And I said, is this a reason just to go to Egypt? And she said, yeah, because in Egypt we have stop signs, but we never stopped in there, you know? It's just, you know, decoration in the streets, because we have about 25 million live in a city almost like El Cajon. So nobody stops, you know, and some of them, when they come from the Middle East or like different countries, they still have the same mentality. They don't want to like go with the rules and stop in the stop signs and you know, respect the rules. So, and in El Cajon we have too much Muslims, more than you can imagine, you know, because you don't deal with them, so you don't know how much Muslims we have here. But this slide, especially this slide in the beginning, because I want to say, like, I'm not here just to let you be aware of Muslims and the tense from Muslims and try to, you know, but Muslims are created by God, redeemed by Christ, exactly like me and you. Yeah. We are not different. We are born like in different countries with different backgrounds. And, you know, when we were kids, some of our parents just taught us how to respect rules and principles and things. But in other parts of the world, they didn't. So, but they were created by God and redeemed by Christ. The second reason, because we encounter Muslims far and wide, affected many details of daily life, in everywhere, in any store you go, in any clinic, you know, especially in El Cajon and San Diego. And the third thing that we need to understand, that Islam is not just a bunch of teachings or a different religion than Christianity. There is a spirit behind Islam, as there is a spirit behind Christianity. We have the Spirit of God, you know? We have the Holy Spirit. And they have a spirit behind Islam. And every religion, if it's true or false religion, it's a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. That's why if we try to deal with Muslims or any other religion, it's a spiritual thing. It's not just a bunch of rules or like they have to behave in certain way and if we approach Muslims or any other religion from this point of view, we won't reach to any point with them, mm-hmm. you know. But if we understand that we are in a spiritual warfare, and we understand that there is a spirit behind Islam, we know that we are the only group, the church is the only group who can overcome it. And I know some people, they feel like the Christians are the only group that they can overcome the spirit of Islam. I think so. I'm sure of that for myself. Why? Because as far as I know, that the one that dwells in me is the Spirit of God. And it's a spiritual warfare. And we cannot fight the spirit with carnal things, because our weapons is not carnal. We cannot fight the spirit of Islam or control what Muslims are doing all over the world, just by tanks and guns and military and SEALs and all these things, which is, we have to have them just, you know, to be used to control whatever is going in the world, but in the same time, if we really want to face the spirit of Islam, there is no other way unless we use the spirit of God, or God, spirit of God uses us. So if we understand that we are in a spiritual warfare, that will make a whole difference, or a whole different point of view when we deal with Muslims. Let me tell you a funny story. One day I was in my office, and I had three operator rooms in my office. Three patients were there at noon, in the noon prayer times. Now the cell phones, the iPads and everything, is just adjusted to the call of prayer for the Muslims. And I don't know if you know that or not, like at 12 o'clock, the phone just start by itself, you know, calling for prayers. At that time, I had three Muslim patients in my office, in my three rooms. And the three of them, they have their cell phone adjusted to the calling of prayer. And suddenly, I found my whole office is calling for Muslim prayers. You know? So I stood and said, like, turn off your phones, but I took it as a spiritual warfare. You know? And I understand there is something spiritual here that we have to stand against. A definition of good Muslim, according to the Quran. You know, it's not according to what, as a Christians, what we explain, but according to Quran, the person who loves Allah, his Prophet Muhammad, and the Quran. And when we talk about love, Muhammad, or Quran, or Allah, we are talking about sincere love. We are talking about somebody is willing to die for Allah and for Muhammad. The other thing is, the one who obeys and pleases Allah by following the footsteps of Muhammad. And this is a big problem. Why? Because they have what we call sunnah. Sunnah means what Muhammad did and said. And so Muhammad married like a 9-year-old girl. Now, in most of the Islamic countries, he was 54, by the way, when he married a 9-year-old girl. So because Muhammad was 54 and married a 9-year-old girl, now they feel like it's lawful, it's okay for 54-year-old man to marry a 9-year-old girl. And when we talk to them and they said, like, we follow whatever Muhammad did, you know. If anybody said any bad word about Muhammad at Muhammad's time, he just killed him, you know. And he was telling them, like, if anybody wants to change his religion or leave and forsake Islam, you have the right to kill him. So that's why that explains what's going on in the world now, why they are doing the crazy things that they are doing. Why? Because they are following Muhammad. Why they wear the galabiyya, you know, the white galabiyya, which is like short up to here, and why they have beards, but they don't have mustache. If you see the fanatic Muslim, he will have beard, but no mustache. Because Muhammad was, you know, had no mustache. I don't know why, but anyway, he had only beard. I don't know who gave them this information about Muhammad, like 15, 16 years ago, that he had no mustache, but he had beard. So when you see one of them like this, this is what they imagine that Muhammad used to be, you know. This is the shape of Muhammad. This is how Muhammad used to look like. And that's why they don't put the watch in the left hand. Because Muhammad said, like, use your right hand in everything. So because Muhammad said, like, use your right hand and right foot in everything, they don't put the watch in the left hand. Why? Because Muhammad said the right hand. Although Muhammad never saw the watch, yeah, you know, anyway, he said, like, do everything with your right hand. So even the watch, they put it to this extent, to this point, that they do everything when they imagine that Muhammad did that. And that's why whatever Sayyid Muhammad they are doing. So the one who fights for the cause of Allah and his Prophet Muhammad, because we have many, many verses in Quran asking the believers, when, and in Quran when he says believers, he means Muslims, you know, to fight the infidels. The infidels was Christians and the Jews. So this is the definition of a good Muslim. Why I'm saying that? Because when we talk about Muslims, someone tells me, like, you know what, I have a neighbor, a Muslim neighbor. He's very nice. In the morning, he say good morning. You know, he never hurt me. You know, he never did anything bad for me. So not all Muslims are bad. I'm not here to say, like, all Muslims are bad. The main point of this slide is to understand who is the Muslim. The Muslims who goes in the footsteps of Muhammad, whatever Muhammad did. So Muhammad told them, and as we know later, that never to take friend from Jews or Christians. So if you have a Muslim friend, that means he's not keeping the command of Muhammad. That means, according to Islam, he is not a good Muslim, you know? And this is the trick, because when Muslims come in the media and say, like, these are fanatics, you know? These are fanatic Muslims. These are not, this is not Islam. And in the Middle East, we have this propaganda. When Muslims kind of, like, do any bad thing, like, kill somebody or, like, you know, even ISIS, they say, like, these are not Muslims. And I wrote an article in my newspaper in Egypt, and I said, like, can somebody tell us what the good Muslim is? Because the good Muslims, according to Quran, is the one that follow the Muhammad's footsteps. So your neighbor, whom I know that he's kind of like peaceful, because he can't do any harm to you or to his wife now here in this country, because he knows that he will go to jail, you know? So he's not following what Muhammad said, and most of them. The funny thing that Ramadan started 2 days ago. Yesterday in my office, I had about like 15 Muslims came to be treated. It's according to Ramadan's rules, you cannot put anything in your mouth. And of course, I'm putting my hands in their mouth and the water in their mouth, and you know, and I was asking them, like, are you fasting? You know, and because Muhammad said, like, if you are fasting and if you have a disease or something, you can just, like, you know, God will account it as you are fasting. So you go to your doctor and do it. Some of them, they said, like, do you think that I need to take the amoxicillin, like, every 8 hours, I'm fasting. And I said, like, well, if you want your tooth to, you know, to be treated, you have to break fast, you know, because there is no way to do both of them. To this point, like, the Muslims, they try to go with the footsteps of Muhammad. The definition of a good American, the one who, this is my definition, okay? I'm an American citizen for 25 years now, okay? The one who believes, acts, and pledges to the American principles. You know that I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. And these sentences that I have, like, lying under it, every one of these sentences, it's just like against the Islamic teachings and believe. And here is, like, the flag of the United States of America. It's not a secret that they consider us the big Satan in the Middle East, in the Muslim, in the real Muslims, you know? Even in most of the Muslims who live in America, they consider America is the big Satan, and Israel is a small one, because we have big Satan and small Satan, you know? And so we have all kinds of Satans. The big one is America, and the small one is, I think you heard this expression before, right? You know, everybody heard this expression before. So the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And when we go through the other slides, they don't care about the flag of the United States of America. They don't care about the flags of their countries. They care about one flag, the flag of Saudi Arabia, because this is the base of Muhammad, you know? This is where Muhammad came from. So, and to the republic, they don't believe in republic. They don't believe that you live in a republic, you know? Because they are a group of Muslims. They have what they call Shura counseling. Shura means a group of people that control everything and take decisions. And it has to be on top of this group is the Amir. The Amir is the leader of the Muslim group. And if you are a dedicated Muslims with any Muslim group, you have to pledge allegiance to the Amir. And whatever the Amir said, you have to do it. You don't have a choice to do any other things because this is the Islamic, you know, idea. So, and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation under God. They don't believe in any other nation than the nation of Islam. Why? Because as we will know that Muhammad told them, you are the best nation came to earth. So if they are the best nation came to earth, they don't care about any other nation. Indivisible, which is, they don't believe that too, because they divide. They are divided between each other, even as Muslims. These are Shiite, and these are Sunnis, and these are like different groups. This is ISIS, this is, and you can name it in Palestine and say like different Islamic groups like fighting even each other. So they believe in divided groups, and they try to unite just to, you know, come against the civilized world with liberty and justice for all. The leaders of the Muslims in Egypt, and you can Google it in the, you know, in the internet, they don't believe in liberty. They don't believe in freedom. There is nothing in Islam called freedom. Why? Because you have what Muhammad said and did, and this is the main point that you have to follow. And now, because Muhammad is not there, you have to pledge allegiance to the Amir of the, or the leader of the group, who pledged allegiance to whatever Muhammad said and did. So they don't believe in liberty. And you find some of very educated Egyptians, Muslims, they come to the TV and mock the liberty, and they mock the freedom, and they mock, and they say like Islam has no freedom. And they boast about that. They feel like because we are the nation of Islam, and when I say like the nation of Islam, I don't mean the nation of Islam, which we have here for Farrakhan and this guy, I'm talking about like, you know, the global group of Islam. So they feel like liberty or like freedom is not kind of a Muslim choice because he has to follow Allah. And justice for all. And of course they don't believe in justice for all. Why? Because they are the best nation came to the earth. And if you come against any Muslim in Egypt, if a Muslim killed a Christian, he will never go to jail or to be killed with the blood of Christian. And if the opposite happened, if a Christian killed Muslim, even by mistake, it's okay to kill him. Why? Because Muhammad's teaching said like the blood of the Muslim is not equal to blood of any other person in this earth. And they believe, of course, that Islam is the best religion. And Christianity, we are blasphemers because we say like Jesus, Son of God, and they don't understand the Son of God. So a Muslim man can marry a Muslim woman, a Christian woman, but it's not the opposite. The Christian guy cannot marry a Muslim women. Why? Because their kids will be for the dead, like, or following the religion of the dead. And that's why the easiest thing to say to do is to go to court and say, like, my husband, he's a Muslim, but, you know, he changed his religion to Christianity. That's it. You are divorced. Why? And your kids, they have to be Muslims. You have no choice, but they have to be Muslim. And here is the scholars of the, you know, Muslim, they come and say, like, the kids, they have to follow the best religion. You know, so the best religion, of course, is Islam. So it's kind of like a mess in the Middle East. We will see kind of like 2 minutes, a leader, a Muslim leader, pledge allegiance. And this Muslim leader is not in Iraq and he's not in Egypt. He's in UCLA, the leader of the Muslim society in UCLA. In Los Angeles, California, United States. See.
And we want to say to the brothers and sisters who are here, you know, we have brothers and sisters who are here today amongst us, who some of their, like, their family is, like, locked up on secret evidence. And we say to y'all, hang in there. Hang in there. And we will continue to make dua for you. And don't give up. And we have to embrace them and not kick them to the curb. We have to embrace them. Y'all go back and get to work. We will end with the Pledge of Allegiance. And so you will repeat after me, inshallah. Allah is my Lord. Islam is my life. The Quran is my guide. The Sunnah is my practice. Jihad is my spirit. Righteousness is my character, and paradise is my goal. For I enjoin what is right, I forbid what is wrong, I will fight against oppression, and I will die to establish Islam. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. And in the end, assalamu alaikum, like peace be upon you. I don't know what kind of peace that they are talking about, you know? The Pledge of Allegiance, not to the flag of the United States, in California, in UCLA. This is someone who's kind of like a leader in the in UCLA students. Anyway, so I just played this video just to tell you, like, we are not inventing things, or like we are not imagining as Christians what they do. But if they do that in UCLA, you know, in California, how much more they can do it in any other Islamic country. So can a good Muslim be a good American? And we agreed that the good Muslims in this presentation, according to Islam, is the one who follow like Muhammad's footsteps and believe in Quran and, as this guy said, like, fight to establish Islam. Theologically, no, because his allegiance to Allah, the moon god, and his prophet Muhammad. The verse here from Quran, Bi'ul, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger, Muhammad. And those in authority among you, this is a verse in Quran. And if you dispute over anything, refer it to Allah and to the messenger. Even as Muslims, if you have like argument about any subject, go back to Muhammad. Go back to what Muhammad said. Go back what Muhammad wrote in Quran. And there is no time, of course, to explain what Muhammad wrote in Quran, but of course, like, he wants to establish Quran and Islam in all over the world. So, religiously, no. Can a good Muslim be a good American? Religiously, no. Because no other religion is accepted by his Allah except Islam. So, from the religious point of view, even if you are not Christian, even if you are not born again, or you know nothing about Christ as any other religion, Muslims cannot accept that, because other religion is accepted by his Allah except Islam, no other religion. In Surah 385, and whoever adopts any other than Islam religion, that shall not be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he shall be among the losers. This is what the Quran says. So, and that's why they feel like as Christians we all going to hell. Why? Because we are not Muslims. And that's why they feel like they are obligated to lead us to Islam. Because when we talk to Muslims, they said like, we don't want you to go to hell. We are introducing Islam because we don't want you to go to hell, you know? And I say, thank God, we are not going to hell. I don't know who's going to hell, because at least as Christians here, we accept Islam as a religion. We don't have to believe in Islam, but I believe no one of you can say like there is nothing called Islam, or like we cannot deal with Muslims, or we don't want to like see a Muslim, or you know. Yeah, from our Christian point of view, we know that God gave us his spirit, and now we are born again, and I think we are satisfied with what the Holy Spirit like dwells inside us, and that's it. But in the same time, we don't attack Islam. We don't say like, you know, it's a false religion. Yes, it's a false religion, as we have to know that, and we have to declare that. But in the same time, we don't attack Muslims because they are Muslims, you know. But that's not the case with them, because if anybody accept any religion other than Islam, so God will not accept that from him in the last day. Spiritually, no. Can a good Muslim be a good American? Spiritually, no, because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. The first one is Shahada. The first one is Shahada. Shahada means like the witness. Like he has to say like no God but Allah, and Muhammad is a prophet of Allah. And the funny thing is, to be a Muslim, you just need to say these two things. No God but Allah, and Muhammad is a prophet of Allah. If you say that, you are a Muslim. That's why in the prisons, when they go and jails, when they go and deal with, you know, black brothers there, they convince them that you can be one of the Islamic nations, you can accept the God of Islam if you say no God but Allah, and Muhammad is a prophet of Allah. And the poor guys, they don't speak Arabic, they don't know anything about Muhammad, they never read Quran. But they like the idea of being a Muslim, and they say like, no God but Allah, and Muhammad is a prophet of Allah. And by the way, in the Middle East, if you as a Christian, if you said like, no God but Allah, and Muhammad is a prophet of Allah, they consider you a Muslim. And if you try to go back, they will kill you, because this is what the Quran says. Like anyone who wants to change his religion, and he's talking, his religions mean the Islam, Muhammad said, kill him. It's so clear, two words, kill him. And that's why if a Muslim came to accept Christ, they give him 30 days to change his mind. If he didn't change his mind in 30 days, any Muslim can kill him without even any penalty. Why? Because this is what Muhammad said. If he wants to change his religion, kill him. And that's why the government of Egypt and all the governments of the Middle Eastern, they insist to write your religion in your ID. So you have your ID or you have your passport, and religion, they have to mention the religion in your ID. And if you accept Christ and became Christian, you cannot go there and to the government and say, like, I'm not a Muslim, I'm Christian. This is a crime enough that anybody can kill you without even going to jail. So spiritually, no, because they have this five pillars, Shahada, prayers, and fasting, Ramadan, paying alms, Hajj, or the pilgrimage to Mecca. Okay? Can a good Muslim be a good American? Geographically, no, because his allegiance is to Mecca, to which he turns in prayer five times a day. The funny thing that in some of the hotels room here in America, you find a red arrow And it's written Mecca. Because of when Muslims come to the room and pray, they cannot pray anywhere. They have to face Mecca. And that's why in the airplane, they just give them even, you know, the direction of Mecca. Anywhere you go, you have this sign. And of course, in an Islamic country, you have to have the sign in everywhere, mm-hmm. even in the streets, like this is towards Mecca. So, because if you pray as a Muslim, you don't have a choice to pray anywhere. You have to pray and your face going towards Mecca. The funny thing that when Muhammad started, he was like a few in number, and he tries to please the Jews, and he tries to get them, you know, in his side. So the first surah came that when you pray, look to Jerusalem. But when he couldn't get the Jews in his, you know, side, so he changed everything, and he said, like, God, you know, abrogate the first verse, and now, if you want to pray, you have to look to Mecca. And can you believe in America here, in some, like, some airports, that you find some people said, like, where is the direction of Mecca? I don't know if you met one of them or not. Where is the direction of Mecca? In Germany, I found them, like, somebody was asking me, because I look like a Middle Eastern, so he said, like, where is the direction of Mecca? And I said, I know that we are in Berlin, you know, and the direction of Mecca. Why? Because he can't pray anywhere. So geographically, the Muslim cannot be a good American, because geographically he's kind of like, his allegiance is to Mecca. This verse of Quran, we will surely turn you to an Qibla. Qibla means like direction or the like a stone with which you will be pleased. So turn your face towards Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Masjid Al-Haram, this is the big mosque in Mecca. And wherever you believers are, turn your faces towards it in prayer. So wherever you are, in America, in any other country, it doesn't matter. You just look to Mecca, you know, put your face towards Mecca and you pray. Socially, can a good Muslim be a good American? Socially, no, because his allegiance to Islam forbids him to make friends with Christians or Jews. Islam teaches Muslims that they are the best nation in humanity. In Surah 5, he said, "Oh, you believe, take not the Jews and the Christians for friends." It's very clear, you know? You cannot interpret it like different. Don't take them as friends. They are friends one to another. He among you who takes them for friends is one of them. When he says one of them, that means he's kind of like, you know, when he says like one of them, that means it's not kind of like an honor place. No, you are one of them, the infidels. And in the first surah, by the way, they part of the first surah, they ask God to guide them to the right path, not as those who went astray and those whom God is kind of like angry with. And he's talking about the Christians and the Jews. Well, in Surah 3, he said, "You are the best nation, community that ever emerged for humanity. You advocate what's moral and forbid what's immoral." I don't know what's moral in killing everybody. I don't know what's moral in doing whatever they are doing, but this is what Muhammad told them. "And forbid what is immoral and believe in God. Had the people of the scripture believed, it would have been better for them." Like, we are the people of the scripture, the Christians and the Jews, and we don't accept what God revealed to them. Well, domestically, because I don't want to take more than my time, can a good Muslim be a good American domestically? No, because he is instructed to marry four women, desert her in bed, and beat and scourge his wife when she disobeyed him. This is a verse from Quran. It's not just kind of like, this is the verse from Quran. Admonish women who disobey God's laws. God's laws, of course, the Muslim, the Islamic laws. Don't sleep with them. I don't know what this has to do with religion. This, anyway. And beat them. If they obey the laws of God, don't try to find fault in them. God is high and supreme. And beat them. Some of the translations, actually, the main translation of Quran, it didn't say beat them. It says scourge them. And the Muslims try to come and say, like, you know what? Because you have to straighten your wife. If she doesn't listen, you can beat her. And they have the translation of the meanings of Quran. And by the way, when you read the Quran in English, you are not reading the Quran. If you are a Muslim, even English-speaking Muslim, you have to read the Quran in Arabic. And of course, nobody can memorize Quran or read Quran in Arabic among the English-speaking people. So they have some surahs to let you just recite it in Arabic if you understand it or not. Because if you pray, you are not allowed to pray in English or any other language. Why? Because the language, this is what the Quran stated. Like, the language in God's heaven is Arabic. So if you try to reach God, you have to reach him in Arabic. If you want to pray, you have to pray in Arabic. If you want to recite some surahs, and of course, in five times a day, they recite surahs. Surah is a chapter in Quran. So it has to be in Arabic. You cannot pray with any other language. So they consider the English Quran is the translation of the meanings of Quran. You know, it's not translation of Quran, because there is no translation of Quran. It's translation of the meaning of Quran. So when they try to translate the word scourge them, which is in Arabic, scourge them, like igliduhunna, so they translate it because this is the meaning that means beat them. And some editions of Quran, they have between two brackets slightly. You know, they try to make it easier and acceptable for the Western mentality. So try to add even some explanations. Although the word in Arabic scourge means like flog them. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what the original word in Arabic, flog them or scourge them. But they said like beat them, and between two brackets, lightly. As if you are allowed to beat them lightly, and this, it's okay, you know, because you are not beating her hard. So the problem is beating her hard or lightly. Yeah. You know, this is the problem. So that they try to solve, because they can't remove this verse now from Quran. So they try to make it appealing to the Western mentality. Anyway, can a good Muslim be a good American? Intellectually, no, because he cannot accept the American Constitution since it's based on biblical principles and he believes the Bible is corrupted. When we say like our Constitution, it is kind of like based in biblical, I don't know how much we apply from the Constitution. This is not the theme of the, what we say. But when we talk about like, it's based on the biblical principles. Well, for them, this is enough not to, follow whatever we have in the Constitution. Why? Because they believe that the Bible is corrupted. And if Bible is corrupted and your Constitution is based on the Bible, so your Constitution is based on something corrupted. So they cannot accept whatever we have in our Constitution. Why? Because the Bible is corrupted. So intellectually, they can't accept this. Philosophically, no, because Islam, Muhammad, and the Quran don't allow freedom of religion and expression. Democracy and Islam cannot coexist. Every Muslim government is either dictatorial or autocratic. Even the Muslim governments, if they don't apply Sharia law to the Muslim countries, it's not only the Western countries. The Western countries, no matter what you do, you are infidel, you know? So you save your time and save your... But I'm talking about Muslim countries. If you don't apply Sharia law, now you are not applying whatever God is asking you to do. Intellectually, no, because he cannot... we say that, right? Okay. Spiritually, can a good Muslim be a good American? Spiritually, no, because when we declare one nation under God, the Christian God is loving and kind, we have different view of God. We have different God. Muslims, they have 99 names of God. And one of the names of God in Islam is a deceiver. You know, it's a deceiver. Can you imagine that Islam is describing God as a deceiver? And this is one of his beautiful names. I don't know what's ugly name can be more than deceiver, but the beautiful name is deceiver, you know? And the only two missing names in the 99 beautiful names of God, or good names of God in Islam, the only two missing names, God is my Father and God is love. And actually, I don't need 99 names of God. I need only two names of God, that God is love and God is my Father. And that's why we accepted God as, you know, and this is the only two missing name. And when you talk about God's love, you are talking different language from other than what the Muslims, they understand. Why? Because they don't understand that God can love you. Why God loves you? Why? No matter what you try to explain, when you say God is love, and they, even in the TV and everywhere, they're just mocking us because we say like God is love. And said like God is powerful, God is great, God is almighty. So how can he love somebody like you? You know? Well, thank God that God is love. The last one. What can we do for Muslims? And I hope, like, after I told you, like, there is difference between to be a good Muslim and a good American. There is no way to be a good Muslim and a good American. You know, I know that it's a broad subject, what's a good American looks like, and, you know, but in the same time, what can we do for Muslims? One, pray that God may open Muslims' eyes to see the divinity and beauty of Christ. Because they are, as we said, like human beings like us. They are created by God. And believe it or not, they are redeemed by Christ. When Christ died, he died for me and for them. You know? He died for all of us. And God loves the whole world. So we really needs to be burdened with Muslims to pray that, because we believe that Islam is a spirit, as I said. We believe we are in a spiritual world warfare. So the only way to reach Muslims is to pray for them. It's just to intercede in their behalf. The second thing is reach Muslims for Christ. I know they won't listen. I know they won't accept you. I know they don't want even want to see you. But that doesn't mean you cannot reach them. You find them everywhere. You know, when you show them love never fails. Even if you don't talk about Christ. When you treat them well, when you talk to them, when you love them really from your heart and pray for them, God will open the door. God, I know many Muslims just gave their lives to Jesus because their American neighbors, every day in the morning, they tell them like good morning and smile in their faces. And in their hearts, they hate you. And they feel like every morning you smile. Every morning you tell them like good morning. You are ready to help, you know? And this touches them. this touched their lives because they feel like there is a difference. And when you pray for them, God will open the door just to talk to them. And you don't have to give them a whole, you know, Dr. David's ceremony, you know. just love them, you know. The last thing is stand firm for your rights and for the safety of the United States of America. One of the main problems with the Christians in America, that they don't have Muslims around them. They don't see Muslims. They don't deal with Muslims. And they are sure that there is no way that Islam can take over America. There is no way. Ask any American. They will say there is no way that Islam will take over America. Well, Islam almost took over England. Almost. And they are insisting to apply Sharia law in Australia these days. And they start to say, like, you know what? Put us some you know, principle, Muslim principles in your constitution. We have to have freedom of this. We have to have freedom of this. And because we are Western countries and we believe in freedom, so we believe that we have to give them more, you know, rights, and we have to do this. Well, I think we need to stand against, you know. And this is not against our Christian values, by the way. And God will not come and tell you, like, why do you ask for, like, your rights politically? No. The Christian, the real Christian, the good Christian who can defend himself and defend his family and defend his country righteously, you know, and ask for the right things, and has to stand against what's going on now in these countries. It's funny enough that all the immigrants in all the Western countries, Saudi Arabia, didn't get one person in Saudi Arabia to adopt. They are sending them to Europe, America, and Canada, and Australia. Who's supposed to take the refugees from the Middle East? Why don't we do kind of like camps in Saudi Arabia and put the refugees there? And then after, like, we solve the problems, if we can solve the problems, they can go back to their countries. Mm-hmm. Why they leave their countries and go to the Western countries and come here? It's not a political lecture. It's something spiritual that you need to understand Islam. You need to understand and stand firm to your rights. And you need even to elect some people who doesn't believe to give Muslims the control over El Cajon or over San Diego. And I don't know how you can do this in love, but I know that if you prayed and you've asked God to give you direction, you will do it with love in a Christian way, but you have to defend your rights. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers.
Thank you.
And see you. Come.